Well, thank you all for being here today. For anyone visiting, let me say welcome. We're very glad that you're here. We hope you find our church warm and open, and today's message both challenging and applicable. So I'm honored again to be speaking today. It's nice to give Jimmy a week off every once in a while, right? But don't worry, he helped me prepare this message, so if you don't like it, you can take it up with him. He'll be back next week. All right, as most of you know, we just finished up our VBS week here at Crossbridge. We had our finale last week, and it was wonderful. We had over 200 kids in this room learning about Jesus and God's love. And my favorite part of the week was all the singing and the dancing. And one of the songs, it was called With Me Every Day, and the chorus went something like this. God is with me every day when I wake up. He is with me every day when I play. So I never have to be afraid because God is with me. So what wonderful lyrics for our children to learn and to dance to, that God is with us every day and we don't have to be afraid. You know, I hope they never forget that. I'm sure you can imagine this is one of those VBS songs that can easily get stuck in your head, right? So we were going from activity to activity and we're humming along to the music, and it was great. And it's kind of like that last song that you hear when you get out of your car and you go into work or you go into the house. It's just kind of stuck in your head on repeat. And that's what's great about music, right? Whether it's a catchy VBS song or it's a song we sing on a Sunday morning or it's the last song you hear before you go in to work or to your house, we can get deep spiritual meaning from these songs. So what are you listening to on the radio right now or on your playlist that you're relating to? What's relevant and giving you deep life meaning? Maybe it's a song that goes like this. Work, 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 something, 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 work, 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 work. All right, so I probably completely butchered that, and that is my best attempt at singing. But I gather a song like that is about work, but maybe not. Or what about the song, Don't Let Me Down, Don't Let Me Down, I Think I'm Losing My Mind Now. Maybe a song like that's about following through on something. And then finally, I won't attempt to sing this one, I couldn't do it justice, but Hello from the Other Side, I Must Have Called 1,000 Times to Tell You I'm Sorry for Something I've Done, but when I call, you never seem to be home. So this one, I think I nailed it. The guy, he has caller ID, he doesn't want to talk, and he doesn't answer the phone. Now, maybe you don't agree with my interpretations, but isn't that what's so great about art and music? That we can listen to a song, we think it means one thing, but then somebody else will listen and think it means something completely different. People will go nuts trying to understand and interpret music lyrics. So today, we're kicking off a series called Pop God. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to take a look at a popular song that you'll recognize from the radio or your playlist. We'll watch the video, and we'll listen to the theme they are communicating. And then we're going to see what the Bible has to say about that theme. So as you can see, we have a wide variety of songs covering all different genres. So I encourage you to watch the videos ahead of time, come up with your own ideas. But each week, we're going to see how today's hottest songs connect with faith, spirituality, and the Bible. And I have to say, I think Jimmy has his hands full with this humble and kind song. I'm not quite sure what the Bible has to say about that. But come back in 2 weeks, and Jimmy will be here. So is everybody with me? All right. So for today, I show the song Sound of Silence. And I think most of you know the Simon and Garfunkel's hit song from 1964. But no, I didn't choose a song from 1964 for a series about today's hottest hits. The song was recently covered by the band Disturbed. So here, let's watch the video.
Silence in rest. restless dreams I walked alone. Narrow streets of cobblestone. Neath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my color to the
So if you were looking for heavy metal at church, then you came to the right place. I think that song rocks. I love how it starts out so mellow at the beginning, and then he just crushes it at the end. But I've listened to this song on repeat for the last month. I think I've developed my own interpretation for the song. So I think Sound of Silence refers to that place in our mind where we put thoughts or ideas that we'd rather not deal with. We are comfortable with life, so we leave ideas that are planted in our mind in the sound of silence. But we don't act on them when we kept them locked away for another time. So has this happened to you before? Thoughts or ideas pop into your head and you start running through scenarios or logistics on how to move forward with that idea. But then we realize it could change things. It could disturb our routine. It could cause our schedule to be reshuffled, and it could affect our comfort zone. So rather than act on the idea, we disregard it and we think we'll save that for later. Or maybe it's another one of life's distractions. Just think about what distracts us on any given day. From anywhere, from news to politics to sports to relationships to social media and fashion. All of this can be a distraction, and the ideas that we have get pushed aside. We're comfortable with where life has us, and we leave them there. We don't rock the boat. So I've listened to this song. I think it's a cry out against complacency. We don't speak out, we're comfortable with how things are going, and we don't try to change things. So the song, it tells the story of a man with an idea planted in his mind that he didn't follow through with. The lyric said, "And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence." And the song goes on like this: the idea was tearing him up inside, he couldn't sleep well, and it was pulling at him. The song describes the complacency. It says people were talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share, and no one dare disturb the sound of silence. It talks about their ineffectiveness. They're not communicating. They're not listening. People continue along with what's comfortable and not taking chances to fulfill the visions planted in our mind. People have ideas that never materialize. It says they write songs that will never be sung. And we are so comfortable with where we are that no one would dare disturb the sound of silence. And then we get the calling for help. There's a phrase that says, "Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fell and echoed in the wells of silence." He's pleading them with them that if we continue drifting along this path, that life will never become anything. But it falls on deaf ears, right? Like silent raindrops, and it echoed in his mind. And the song ends with a warning. It says, "The words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and the tenement halls and whispered in the sound of silence." The words of the prophets, the useful and effective guidance for our life, is relegated to below-ground subways or destitute housing next to the graffiti and the advertisements, which is probably the least effective place, right, to reach people with our ideas. And even the warning at this point in the song is just a whisper in his mind, the sound of silence. So we can get comfortable with things, right, and be complacent. We're satisfied with life and where it has us, and we're not trying to make it any better. And this can happen spiritually, too. We have spiritual highs or lows, or maybe we're praying for something and we don't necessarily like the response we're getting. Or we have a prompting from the Holy Spirit to act in a way that's challenging or uncomfortable, and we don't want to do it. We can become spiritually complacent. And you know what? I'm so thankful that the Bible has something to say about this. So today we're going to look at a passage from the book of Revelation. So if you have your Bibles, whether electronic or paper, turn with me to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. We're going to be in chapter 3, and if you don't have your Bible, the verses will be up on the screen. Revelation is a unique book because it's a letter written to seven churches in Asia Minor. And the letter itself was given from God to the Apostle John while he was imprisoned on an island. So talk about sound of silence. The second and third chapter contain seven specific letters to each of these churches, and I'd like to quickly jump to the letter to the church in Laodicea in chapter 3. So let's read Revelation 3, 15 and 16. It says, "I know your deeds, that you were neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. So because you were lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." So now before we jump into this, it's important to know this city, the church in Laodicea, they were famous for lukewarm water. Right? They didn't have their own water supply. So what they did is they piped in water from two neighboring towns. And on one side was a town called Colossae, and they had a cold water spring. It was pure, drinkable, it was refreshing. So what they did, they built an aqueduct, and they sent that cold water to Laodicea. But by the time it traveled the distance, it had warmed up, and it was lukewarm. And then on the other side was a town called Hierapolis, and they had a hot spring. And they did the exact same thing. They built an aqueduct, they sent the hot water to Laodicea, but again, by the time it traveled that distance, it had cooled off, and it was lukewarm. So the people hearing this, they could easily connect the pieces and the reference. They would know all too well that lukewarm water is useless. It's not cold and refreshing to drink, and it's not hot enough for cooking and washing. It has no purpose. It's useless. So Jesus is saying, just as the water you drink is disgustingly lukewarm, you are also lukewarm. Now he's addressing them as a church, saying, "I know your deeds." He knows what the people are doing and what the church is doing, and he's upset about their actions. They claim to be so rich that they don't need anything, and they have everything under control. They are comfortable and indifferent. The church in this city should look different, but it exemplifies spiritual complacency. They believe they don't need any help. They have their wealth, they have their exports, and they have all the answers. They think everything's good. And in verse 15, it says, "I wish you were either one or the other." And now there's a passion in this statement. Jesus is pleading with him. It's more like, "Oh, how I wish." He's asking them to make up their mind, and he's heartbroken over it. You see, the church has been given a mission to bring hope into the world, and this church has gone silent. They are experiencing the sounds of silence when it comes to their effectiveness. They're not living out the dream that God has called for them. Jesus mentions how he wishes they were hot or cold. He's longing for them to be useful and effective. Instead, they are complacent and they are satisfied with where life has them. And so for me, this is convicting. If I'm being completely honest, it was hard for me to write a message about changing our ways because we all have our comfort zones, right? So a message about complacency and being comfortable where life has them, this is a message I needed to hear. I can't tell you how many times I've thought about asking someone out for lunch or grab a cup of coffee or play a round of golf, only to forget to do it. It stuck somewhere in my mind. And I'm reminded of the idea and wondered why I never followed through with that in the first place. And you know, I have to think the devil, he's licking his chops at a lukewarm church. When the church is complacent and we don't speak up for injustice, we don't live out God's calling for us, that's a church that the devil doesn't have to pay much attention to, right? When we're not satisfied and looking to change, all of our dreams are stuck in that state of mind. And I'm sure there are churches out there thinking they have it all under control and they don't need any help. I was in a small group a few years ago on the topic of prayer. We talked about setting aside time for prayer, personal, uninterrupted time with God. And I remember talking with the group how it can be difficult because we're so busy, being pulled in different directions, whether it's work and responsibilities or vacation and sports and activities for the kids, that even setting aside time for prayer was difficult because we were so distracted. And I like the way Adam Stadtmiller wrote in his article, Leading Distracted People. It says this, one of the devil's greatest tools is distraction. It's a devastating weapon. The devil may smile every time we disobey God blatantly, but he's just as pleased when he lures us into meaningless distraction. Distraction is the enemy of focus and clarity, two components to lead a spiritual life. So we can be distracted by so many things in life, but did you ever think it was the enemy pulling us away from something better? Again, all that stuff, vacations and sports and activities with the kids, they're all good things. But we need to be guarded against them becoming distractions. So it comes down to our time and how we spend it. Let's look at this image here. So does this resonate with anybody else? We can't get the time back and we need to spend it wisely. God's desire is for us to be useful and effective, not stale, lukewarm, and complacent. So let's go back to verse 16. It says, so because you were lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. I am about to spit you out of my mouth. And for context, this is not just a little spit. It's more like throw up. My 5-year-old son, Sam, we thought he had a severe gag reflex. If there was something he didn't like for dinner, and we're talking about basic stuff here, like chicken, he would, if he didn't like it in his mouth, he would throw it up. And something about it, the taste, the texture, the smell, whatever it was, he wanted it out of his mouth. I remember one time I was helping him with spaghetti and meatballs. We were going along slowly. There were a couple gag scares along the way, but we were doing fine until the last bite. And I'm sure you know where this is going. He took the last bite, and all of our hard work, he threw it all up. And I'm not kidding, within 30 seconds of cleaning him up, he asked for a cookie. And the boy can put the entire cookie in his mouth without trouble. So for him, it's more mind over matter. So Jesus here saying that he's about to spit the church and Laodicea out of his mouth is him saying their complacency and uselessness makes him want to throw up. The church in Laodicea, they're calling their own shots. They're being ruled and led by the people. They decide things on their own power. And they're misrepresenting what being a Christian is all about, and it's making Jesus sick. So I pray that we're a church and a body of Christ that's never in a position to nauseate Jesus. I mean, what a pretty terrible thought, right? To be so complacent in our walk with God or to the direction that our church is going that Jesus would ever want to spit us out of his mouth. And believe me, that's the last thing he wants to do. He loves us so much, he wants us to be with him. And you know what? This is why we need good accountability partners in our life, the people that are bold enough to speak up when they see us drifting or settling. And this is why the elders need to commit that the Bible is preached up here on Sunday mornings, even when the message is difficult to hear, challenging, or convicting. And this is why the governing board makes decisions, whether it's the direction of the church, the staff, the rent, the events or the programs, that all of our resources are going to fulfill the vision of our church, which is loving God, loving people, and serving the world. We're not going to dig into verses 17 and 18, but this is where Jesus calls them out. They think they don't need anything, but Jesus says, no, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. And Jesus, he calls them to change their ways and turn back to him. He says they can be rich through a relationship with him, that he can cover their nakedness, and through him, they can see. And then in verses 19 and 20, Jesus gives us his instructions. He says, to those I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. He disciplines those he loves. So let's think about that for a minute. He's writing to this church with pretty harsh criticisms, right? For their complacency, for losing their way, for being lukewarm. But he's doing it out of love. He wants us to change our ways and turn back to him. He doesn't want us to drift through life. He wants us to live with purpose and break the sound of silence. In verse 20, Jesus tells them that he stands at the door and knocks. And so first off, what a remarkable illustration of how complacent a church has become when Jesus of all people has to knock at the front door. So in our song today, there was a calling for help to free us from the sound of silence. The lyric said, hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. So here, Jesus is knocking at the door. He's reaching out to us, and do we hear him? Some of the commentary I read described this as a gentle and persistent knocking. So do we hear Jesus knocking? And what does it sound like in our church right now? He says, if anyone hears my voice, so how is he speaking to us? And how is he speaking to you? Is he reminding you of a vision planted in your mind? Reminding you to ask that guy out for a cup of coffee? Rekindling or renewing an enthusiasm for service? A spirit for the needy or a heart for missions? Is he pleading with you to come back to him saying, I missed you so much? Is he saying, hear my words that I might teach you and take my arms that I might reach you? So I pray these words, this gentle and persistent knocking at the door doesn't fall like silent raindrops and isn't echoed in the wells of silence. So this passage, I think it's the perfect lens to put our life through. We lead busy lives. We have a lot going on. We can be distracted and easily become spiritually complacent. And maybe it's a message we hear on a Sunday morning that we connect with and we mean to do something with it, but by Monday morning, it ends up in the sound of silence. Or maybe there are times where we're praying and we feel so connected to God that the praise and the worship, it just spills off our lips. But as the pattern goes, we give less and less time to prayer because we're so distracted. And we save it to the end of the day, but then we fall asleep before we even really get started. We have so much to thank God for, so many ideas to talk about, but they're left stranded in the sound of silence. And we can keep going. What about serving at church or attending a small group or giving back to God financially? The ideas may start out with good intentions, but we get distractions or excuses creep in, and we're comfortable with how things are, and we say, we'll just save that for later. So we leave another idea or a thought in the sound of silence. So my friends, Jesus is knocking at the door. He wants to spend time with us. He wants us to be useful and live with purpose. He wants us to be seeking him in all things and then tell other people about him. We should strive to put our best foot forward in however we are called to serve. I pray that wherever we are in life, that Jesus' gentle and persistent knocking never stops, and we seek to be useful and effective. So my challenge for us is simple. It's written on the card under something for Monday. Spend time with Jesus tomorrow. If you have to clear a block of time on your schedule, that's okay. Tomorrow morning is blocked out for me. I'm spending time with Jesus. So I ask you to say a prayer, and maybe it goes something like this. Jesus, I miss you. Renew my heart for you, God. Remove any distractions in my life that get in the way of a relationship with you. I hear you knocking, and the door is open. Take control back in my life. So pray a prayer like that or something similar, and then read something from the Bible, anything. And if you want a head start, my two favorite books are James and Ephesians, and you can get good stuff out of both of those. Maybe you're visiting today and you haven't made the choice to follow Jesus and you're not sure what to make of all this. That a message about complacency is not what you expected to hear today, and that's okay. But you know what? Something brought you here this morning. You altered your routine and you came. So I applaud you for breaking the sound of silence and following through on that prompting. And you know, maybe our time this morning has been that gentle and persistent knocking. And if you want to talk further about today's message, I encourage you, ask whoever invited you here or come up to me, or maybe we can grab that cup of coffee. So no matter where you are in life right now with God, if you've accepted Jesus or you're still working through what that looks like, the message today is don't be lukewarm. Don't get lost doing nothing and waiting for things to change. Each of us has a purpose in this life. Each of us can be useful and effective. And finally here, as we close and the music team comes back up, I pray that Crossbridge is a church that would never be complacent, that we continue to speak up for the important things in life, even if they are uncomfortable or difficult to discuss, that ideas, they don't stay stuck in our mind, that we challenge each other and hold each other accountable, that our walk with God is filled with a passion, enthusiasm, and eagerness. I imagine a church that's living out its purpose for God, that it's so blatantly obvious for other people to see, that our doors are open for Jesus coming in and that the Holy Spirit moves through everything that we do. I pray that we would not be overcome by the sound of silence. So will you pray with me? Lord God, thank you so much for our time together this morning. Thank you that you love us so much, that you were gracious with us and you were gentle and your persistent knocking never stops. Lord, we don't want to be lukewarm. We don't want Crossbridge to be lukewarm. Let us commit to being a church and a body of Christ that is useful and effective, Lord. Let us be aware of distractions in life that pull us away from you, to wisely use our time to step out of our comfort zones and follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give us great wisdom and discernment to fill the visions you planted in our mind and break the sound of silence. In Jesus' name, amen.